you doing? Daniel Ruiz Tyson is available for Thursday, the 2nd of January 2020, episode 213. Happy New Year to you all. Happy New Decade. New Decade, same old bouffant, which has pulled my running hat out of shape. It's an indoor running hat. Well, indoors as in I wear it indoors usually, but it's also started coming with me on my runs. And the bouffant has pulled it out of shape. It looks like I'm wearing a Ruster hat or a Bishop's Mitre now. A new hat has crept onto the long list of purchases that I need to prioritise. We are now in January, a real anti-climax, isn't it? It always is. No matter how good your Christmas is, you might have had the best Christmas in the world, but January is always around the corner. You've always got to deal with January. I suppose you would feel differently about January if you were born in January. My goddaughter's born in January. Maybe if you have a birthday in January, it's a month that's special to you. But I think for everyone else, I'd be surprised if it's a month that you hold close to your heart. And I think I floated the idea before of having a month to separate us from December and January. And I suppose a month would be excessive because you've got to get on with a year, but maybe an interim week, I think. A week that would be nothing. It would be the week-long month with no name. A week of nothing. And just something to get us ready mentally for January. Because it is a difficult month. I think January is a bit like sex in a way, more than a bit. You've emptied the tank and now you're thinking, was that it? I'm thinking about that analogy now. Yeah, I'm sticking with that. That's how I feel about January. That's how I feel about, intercourse. There's just, once it's over, you know, you got to gather your clothes, you got to fold them up. You've had that euphoric moment maybe and now you're feeling really flat. That's January. I was missing a sock just until I started recording and I thought I'd have one last look for it. I did a wash on New Year's Eve and put the clothes out to dry. Well, drying them indoors, making sure I got the heating on. The dryer on the washing machine doesn't work. So I'm always paranoid about being one of those people that I don't know how it is where you are, but in London, the price of rented accommodation and what you get for that rented accommodation, as I've said so many times, is so small. And, we've got those flats that have been converted into studios. We've got bathrooms that are windowless. And for so many people, drying your clothes, airing your flat isn't easy. And you just have to go on a bus and you'll smell the damp clothes that people are often wearing. It's not to say those clothes are dirty. It's just that, or that they need a wash. It's just that they've been washed and they haven't been dried. I've always lived on top floors apart from a few months in my life. And when we lived up Mayflower, my aunt had lived there before us. So it was a really weird house swap bedsit swap rather. They moved to a flat and we moved into the bedsit. Voice almost going there early. Got my bottle of water here. May need to take a swig. I'll see if I can hold off and recover the voice. And my other uncle, who lived with my aunt and uncle, who are still around. My other uncle, he passed away in 96. He used to live with them. And when they'd moved into the bedsit at 48 Mayflower on the second floor, he'd constructed a wooden, I don't know how to describe it, like a clothes hanger, somewhere to hang your clothes, but from a second floor. And it was always, I'm surprised that it was never blown away by the wind. I'm surprised that it survived the hurricane of October 87. My dad every now and then would reinforce it with extra bits of wood, but it was very effective. And you just dry your clothes there. And then, of course, you'd have to bring them out from the rain. That's how it works. If you have a house, you've got to bring the clothes in. When you live in a flat, if you don't have the option to open a window to dry your clothes, it can be difficult. And of course, you know, you might just be in your your living room might be the room that you're actually sleeping in, so, and living in, literally. So you open that window, you're going to be cold, but you need to dry your clothes. You don't want to be that person that's in the office with the damp smelling clothes, or on the bus with the damp smelling clothes. And meantime, you're often paying over £1,000 a month to live as you are. That is London at 2020. So I was unable to locate the sock yesterday, a new sports sock, black Slazenger sock. Don't use them for the running, simply because I suppose they look like the kind of sock you'd wear with a shoe, and I don't want to look more unusual than I already do with the kind of clothes that I wear for running. So I stick to the white socks, the new white Slazenger socks I bought in November, which, because my running shoes, I don't think they're running shoes, but the shoes that I run with, because they're constantly getting soaked, the socks, although they're new, they just the mud isn't washing out, so they're half grey now, I suppose. And anyway, I finally located the sock before the show. I thought, I'm not going to do a good show if I can't find this sock. It's really bothering me. You know, why has this sock gone missing? What have I done? So I just gathered up. I'd matched most of the socks apart from this sock. And I got all, you know, the underwear, the thermal t-shirts. I just started shaking them and out fell the sock. And now that's one less bit of admin that I have to do. A bit of a bipolar reading spell. Read a lot over Christmas and the New Year. You know, I got those Christmas books out of the way that I told you about. And then I read something else. I read some steampunk. I'm a, you know, I quite like the steampunk. And then I've now gone to the Eustace Diamonds, which I think is the third in the six strong series of Palliser novels by Trollope. And I read the Barchester novels in the mid-90s. I think I was a bit too young to appreciate them properly, but I do remember that I am fond of Trollope. Took a bit of stick in his time, but I think he's a very good, or he was a very good writer. Invented the postbox, or I think that I'm right in saying that. I also like the fact that because he kept his job as a postmaster, he would write every morning on the train, and he'd built himself a makeshift desk, a portable desk that he would carry with him. And as someone who used to write a lot on buses and may need to start doing that again soon, I quite like that idea. I think mornings are important to a writer. I like to just, you know, when I'm flying with the writing, which I'm certainly not doing now, it's the mornings are, you know, they're my best time to write. And I've done a lot of good work on buses, just writing on my turned over bag. So I'm reading the Eustace Diamonds. I read the first Palliser novel, which I think is the fourth or fifth one. I think it was The Prime Minister. I read that as a standalone novel, not realising it was part of another series. So I've read that, so I think this is the third Palliser novel, but it's my fourth, and then I've got two more to read. I'm always disappointed when I don't read books in order. I've held off recently on a Laurie R. King book. She writes, I've forgotten the name of her character, but it's a young girl who moves to Sussex and becomes involved with the retired Sherlock Holmes. She's written about 16 of these. Oh, Mary Russell, I think, is the name of the character. And the books are widely available in the libraries, except the third one. So I've had to buy that secondhand this week, just because I don't normally like reading books out of order. It's like, I remember, you know, when I've come across people who, for example, watched The Wire and started off with series two first, and I'd take issue with it, and then people would say to me, yeah, but it's The Wire's the kind of show where you can watch the various series in any order. And I suppose that certainly applies with series two, which is a standalone series, really, with The Wire. I think the other four I'd rather watch in order. That's just a personal thing. So I've got the Trollope thing going on, but I've also got 50 Years of Shoot, annual Shoot, the old football magazine that my sister got me and over Christmas. And I was a big reader of Shoot as a kid. Even before I started reading it, my dad would get me the annuals as a kid as he tried to get me into football, and succeeded easily. So I've been moving between the two. really enjoying the Eustace Diamonds, the Trollope novel. The font is proving to be a bit of an issue, though. I've spent the last few days buying secondhand books online with a voucher that my sister also gave me. She was ridiculously generous. She always is. Nice to see her over Christmas. So I've used up the voucher now, and I'm glad that I've got enough latex gloves from my uncle's recent stay in hospital, because those hospital gloves will get me through the secondhand books, which I'm sure will arrive in a troubling state. One of the books is coming from the state of Texas, so I may not get that for a few weeks. Trying to get the freelance work up and running, it's going to be a very challenging year, I think, for me on, you know, many fronts. I've got to step up and try to meet it, which currently is not going to be the easiest thing to do. The freelance stuff, you know, I like the idea of being a digital nomad, for want of a better term. You know, I like the idea of never having to set foot in another office again, but it is very difficult. I'm taking trial memberships on various sites, but they do restrict the amount of projects you can bid on every day. And I think it makes it very difficult to establish yourself as a freelancer. I've raised that with one of the sites. They've come back to me talking about the importance of making connections, which goes back to the whole networking thing, I think, which is something I've always struggled with. You know, I just want to work. I want to make this freelancing thing work so I can avoid the man. And it's not easy. It's not easy to do. I've only got a month to see if this membership works, and then I've got to make a decision on whether I'm going to pay for that medium level of membership. I'm certainly not ready to go up to the £20 a month membership. And it's also about finding this time, because also I've got to keep looking for stuff with the man, short-term assignments that might bring in some immediate money. And I've also got to look at, you know, the writing, because it's 6 months now with that where I've been struggling. There's no other word for it. Did pick up before Christmas, it picked up, and hoping to get back to that tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be a busy day. You do come across some very strange projects when you're doing this online freelancing. Also, you know, some spammers, dodgy spammers who are asking you to advance money to them. And that's obviously alarm bells start ringing and you end up blocking them. You've got to report them. That takes up more time. But you do get some weird projects. A couple that I've happened upon that I've noted down over the last few days. The first one, we're looking for an experienced proofreader to conduct a line edit and proofread of a 71-page, 11,000-word or 50,000-character photography pose ebook. The first draft is completed. The working title is Virgin Killer Sweater Boudoir Photography. So that was the first one. The second one, and there's so many of these around. It reminds me of the days, the early days of the podcast, when I would find some great ads, very funny ads in the small ads posted in newsagents, which did actually disappear as the recession deepened. It was one thing the recession killed, well, one of many things that the recession killed off, but it was something that I noticed after the first 30, 40 episodes of this show. I was no longer finding these ads in newsagent shop windows. There's one newsagent in Wandsworth Road, on Wandsworth Road, by the sports centre there. He used to have some brilliant ads in that shop window. Absolutely brilliant ads. Very, very funny. And I went past there the other week. Last week. And I think the 23rd of December, the only day that I did Christmas shopping, and I didn't find any ads in that window, but I was looking there. I had my face pressed against the glass. Not quite, because that would be unhygienic. So that's a slight exaggeration. And I was just remembering all the ads that I used to find there. But anyway, the second ad read, this is a spiritual poetry book by me. I want someone to edit it for me. I am sure it is a four-line poem. Correct me if I'm wrong. Bit pretentious, I thought. Always the danger with poets. Bad dreams on New Year's Day. I've not gone back to working my proper days yet. I've done a bit this morning, going to do a bit later. I made sure, of course, I took Christmas Day off. I took the period after Christmas off. I'm trying to treat today as a relatively normal day, and tomorrow's going to be me going back full throttle on things. Also need to do shopping. But I went into New Year's on the back of a couple of bad dreams. Well, three strange dreams, actually. One was I was being sacked by a very overweight, late middle-aged guy with a neck fold who had a shaven head and supported Sheffield Wednesday. I don't know where that came from, although I think I recall the character, the guy in the dream reminded me of an old, not a boss of mine, but a boss who was at the place where I met the kid back in 2012. He was actually a Chelsea fan, but for some reason in this dream, he was supporting Sheffield Wednesday. He was sacking me. And he tried to sit me down for a meeting. And it was one of those places where you're help desking. And every time he was trying to have this private conversation with me where he was going to be sacking me, other people kept turning up. So I think we moved to about four or five different locations. I'm not sure he sacked me in the end simply because we couldn't find the quiet space that we needed for him to hand me my P45. The second two dreams were very disturbing. They involved two ships going down, and they were very, very detailed. I know that a fire broke out on the first shipwreck, and I can't remember the specifics now of the second shipwreck, but they both went down, huge loss of life, and I spent the day wondering if I'd suddenly been cursed with the ability to see into the future, you know, because I've got enough on my plate without that. And I kept checking the news every few hours for any shipping incidents. The P45, I don't need to look into the future for that because it's likely that the P45 is something that's going to haunt me to the end of my days. Some positive news to give you on this regular section of the available podcast. And the way this show works is that I will tend to give away 25, 30 minutes, sometimes longer, might be shorter this week. Give it away on all the usual podcast platforms. And then if you want the full length show, all you have to do is get on over to patreon.com/DRT available. And for just $7 a month, that's less than the price of two UK coffees, you can get all the full length shows every Thursday and all the bonus content. There is quite a bit of bonus content up on the site. Take a look around. There is some content that you're able to play that's unlocked. Take a look around, and if you like what you see, join us. Join the 10. Join the 9 darters featuring the D'Artagnan of Crouch End. Make them 11. That would be a good way to start the new year. And, you know, if you're not prepared to do that, perhaps you'd be kind enough, if you enjoy the show, to give it a review on Apple Podcasts, if that is the way that you download the show. Because It's quite simple, really. Rating, reviewing, and subscribing to the show on Apple Podcasts does increase the visibility of the show, and it's not had a review now for over 2 years. If it doesn't get a review, doesn't gain that extra visibility, and it continues to be, some would say, cult podcast. I probably would say niche, but it's a simple thing to do, and it's going to take you 2 minutes. Throw some stars my way if you enjoy the show. Anyway, the news was that Player FM listed Daniel Ruiz Tyson is available among London's best comedy podcasts of December 2019. So that was good. That was a nice way to end the year. Porridge addiction. I'm looking at some porridge at lunchtime today. As I said on the bonus episode that went out on the Patreon site, I think that was only available to Patreon supporters. It was a 20-minute episode, a festive miracle, I think it was called, relating to the nectar point. So I'll touch on that later. I mentioned that the porridge addiction, it's not this me having porridge. It doesn't stem from being financially broke. So don't think that. Don't think here I'm, you know, playing the pity card. It is, quite frankly, an addiction. I could have all the money in the world. I could be a multi-millionaire and I'd still be fighting this porridge addiction. And it came about in 2013 when I got the midlife orthodontal brace and spent a year eating gnocchi. Is it gnocchi or gnocchi? Do you hit the G on the gnocchi? And I've never gone back to that stuff because it's horrible. And that was the year I started eating porridge. And I don't even remember having porridge as a four-year-old. I was told that, you know, as a kid, as, you know, 2-3 years old, I'd had it. I didn't like it. Weetabix was another cereal I never got into, and I'm certainly not going to get into that. But porridge, once I realized how good porridge could be with honey and some raisins and some blueberries, still 165 and little, by the way, I just love it. The problem with porridge, well, the problem with the lunchtime thing is, you know, I love breakfast and I love lunchtime. Breakfast, I have a hot breakfast. Well, the toast or the crackers. The crackers obviously aren't hot. The crackers I remember I got back into 10 years ago, just as I was about to make my podcasting debut. And it goes back to a breakfast I always used to have as a kid. Coffee, a very young kid, by the way, 7-8 years old, probably from the age of 6, and dunking buttered crackers. So I've got those are the two options for breakfast, and then lunchtime, always go for the cold lunch. I'm not a big sandwich guy, and so it's either cereal with bran flakes, yogurt, you know, and a fruit in there, raisins, almond flakes, and the other option is porridge. The problem with porridge is I tend to overmake porridge, so I berate myself afterwards. I never finish the bowl of porridge. I try to find some discipline at the end, but of course then that leads to wastage. I've already had to throw out a baking potato this week, which had got lost at the bottom of the fridge. And I was weighing up the baked potato yesterday when I was making something to eat, and I thought, I can't have this. It's too soft. I'm a writer. I can't afford to waste food, but I just need to find a way of getting in front of this porridge addiction. Talking to myself more and more, that is established now. It's a thing now, and I might have mentioned when the show returned back in October that when I lived with the space daddy back in 2009, I used to hear him talking to himself a lot, and I pulled him up on that, and he said, yeah, what of it? Wasn't a big deal to him. I always thought it was a big deal. Now I'm doing the same, except I'm 10 years older than he was when he was doing it, though I imagine that he is still doing it. He was never troubled by talking to himself. I think that if I had a pet, if I had a cat or a dog, then, you know, the whole talking to myself, I could pass it off as talking to an animal, talking to another species. But the fact is, I'm on my own and I'm talking to myself a lot, trying to stamp it out. So I think I've done that up to a point the last few days, but it's something that I have to think about before I can curb. So it's taking some effort. Just having a look at the mic here. I'm okay for time. 24 minutes in. I put in a new Kodak battery into the mic. Didn't trust the two bars that I had on the display to last the entire recording. At the run-in, that's been going well. Very cold yesterday, which shocked me. That's the first time I think I've been cold from start to finish. Was wearing the usual shorts. I wear these olive green shorts, which, you know, it's not really my colour. I suppose I'd rather wear olive green rather than a very bright colour. But I wear these shorts simply because they're the only ones that I have with a pocket. But they are a bit too short. They're not my shortest shorts, but they're slightly too short. They don't come down far enough on the thigh. Ideally, I'd like something touching the knees. It actually reminds me of being self-conscious at school back in my days as an infant when wearing shorts. And I remember, you know, I'd be sitting in the assembly hall in my shorts, watching them ride up the thigh, thinking, I don't like this. I don't like the fact that my legs, so much of my legs can be seen. That's how I feel about the running. And what I did yesterday, I got these very thin indoor-only shorts that I sometimes wear in the summer for sleeping. And I wore them under my shorts. And, you know, they've been washed so often that they're out of shape, these undershorts, as it were. That was the role I had for them yesterday. So it kind of maybe looked like I was wearing a sort of skirt. I had contemplated cutting a pair of old long johns, which would fit a bit tighter around the leg. But I just think I need to find some longer shorts when I look at the sales over the next few days. So, yeah, went out for a run yesterday, New Year's Day, in two pairs of shorts. Not the most comfortable thing. And I'll probably come back to the running later. Let's wrap up this show now for regular listeners. Do remember, if you want to catch the rest of the show, and I'll be here for a while yet, just get on over to Patreon, patreon.com/DRTavailable. If you're not prepared to do that, if you're not happy doing that, if you're unable to do that, then just leave a review on the iTunes site. And, well, go on to Apple Podcasts if that is how you download the show. Throw some stars my way if you enjoy the show. And maybe, I'll tell you what, screenshot that review. Send it to me, drtavailable@westegg1607.co.uk. And as a thank you for doing that, I will transfer you the full episode this week, episode 213, because I'm going to be here for a while yet. So that's my deal. That's a New Year offer from me. Other ways that you can follow the show, Twitter at 1607 West Egg. There's the Instagram page at 1607 West Egg, and Facebook as well. You can post on there. And this time I've taken the trouble to write it down. Facebook.com/DRT is available. And what I'm going to be talking about in the second half of the show, I'm going to be talking about New Year's Eve. I'm going to be talking about Star Wars football as the season reaches its denouement. Should have got Mickey on there to pronounce that. He's very strong with the French pronunciations, as I mentioned last week. I'm going to be talking about an old film I saw over the New Year period. What else? I've dreamt about the mystery shop again. I'm just looking through my notes here. That mystery shop that I mentioned, I can't remember if I mentioned it on the Patreon section a couple of weeks ago. The mystery shop that I keep going to, located in either Brixton, well, around the back of Brixton, or Waterloo. A trip to the cemetery with my aunt. A bit more on the running. So there's plenty more to come on the Patreon-only section of Daniel Ruiz Tyson, episode 213. So get on over to patreon.com/DRTavailable. $7 a month. That's less than £5, or round about £5. That's less than the price of two coffees. You get 70-minute minimum shows every week, and there's quite a bit of bonus content on there. And to those of you who are not... There's the voice going again. To those of you who are not, you know, get those shoulders back, keep on walking towards the sun. I'm Daniel Ruiz Tyson, and this week I have been available.